shit. Confronting the fraud inside. The thing about imposter syndrome is that it doesn't feel like a wound. It feels like clarity. It feels like you're the only one in the room who sees yourself accurately and everyone else just hasn't caught on yet. That's what makes it so hard to challenge. You're not fighting a fear, you're fighting something that your whole body believes is a fact. Every version of it traces back to something that got installed in childhood, a role, a belief, a wound that never got addressed. Here's how it shows up. The assigned role. You were given an identity in your family, the sensitive one, the difficult one, the one who wasn't the smart one. And no matter what you accomplished, they never updated their read on you. So you never updated your read on yourself. Now anything that contradicts the role feels fraudulent because stepping outside of it was never safe. The golden child of a narcissistic parent. You were told you were perfect at everything, praised constantly and indiscriminately, but the praise was never about you. It was about reflecting well on them. Your accomplishments never feel like yours because they were always being harvested for someone else's image, and struggle feels catastrophic because your safety depended on being perfect. The golden child as a family stabilizer. You were genuinely smart and capable, but you know on some level that it's a role. You built the good kid, the achiever, the one who holds it together because that's what kept you safe and loved. It doesn't show up as I'm stupid. It shows up as a quiet hum that says, this is a performance. Toxic shame. This isn't imposter syndrome about intelligence or achievement. This is the belief that something is fundamentally wrong with you at your core and it cancels out everything good. It leads to avoidance and freeze, not knowing, not doing the thing, because if you try and fail, the belief gets confirmed. So not doing it feels like protection, except the pile of things you never did becomes its own proof. Parentification, you feel like a kid trapped in an adult's body. You were handed adult responsibilities before you were ready, but you never got to be a beginner, never got to be safely bad at something while someone bigger had it handled. Now being new at anything doesn't feel like being new. It feels like being in danger. The fraud in love. You feel like you've been showing your partner a version of yourself and one day they'll see the real one and leave. When your trauma surfaces years into a relationship, it feels like the con is being exposed. But the version of you they fell in love with wasn't fake. It was the version survival built. And what's happening now isn't a switch. It's more of you coming up. Feeling like a fraud about your own trauma. You tell yourself other people had it worse. It wasn't that bad. You're making a bigger deal out of it than it was. You feel like a fraud for taking up space in your own healing. But what's happening isn't just doubting your pain. It's doubting your worthiness of care, because accepting your trauma means accepting that you deserve support. The minimizing is the trauma response, and it's the wound itself preventing you from acknowledging the wound. So, which of these hits home for you? Is there something you've avoided doing or put off because the fear of confirming what you already believe about yourself? What kind of situations tend to trigger your imposter syndrome the most? Work, relationships, parent, healing, something else? And is there a version of this you've started to work through? What shifted? Well, I've already shared at great length about this in the episode, and I know plenty of people relate to imposter syndrome. So go ahead, Karen.
Well, it's no surprise to me that toxic shame is the one that I identify with the most. I've read some books on imposter syndrome, and in like the ACA literature, you know, fear of failure, fear of success. I have that. Yeah, I mean, this is like writing my words with a song, you know, it's just like so identify with this. Leads to avoidance and freeze, not doing the thing, because if you try and fail, the belief gets confirmed. Absolutely. That has been my negative false belief. I am challenging it now. Not doing it feels like protection. Yeah. There is like a huge protector part in me that's like, yeah, don't try that. Don't do that. Or I get excited and I try it and I'm like, yeah, this is the thing. And I give it some time, and then the doubt creeps in or whatever, you know, the critical parent voice comes in. So I self-abandon. I give up on myself. And yeah, procrastination definitely fits in there. a pile of things you never did become its own proof. Yeah. So, but you know, the past doesn't matter. I am really focusing on my recovery in some different ways and doing things differently and really like just having more clarity around what it means to be my own loving parent, to love myself. And I'm like, I am connecting with my inner family and my higher power in ways that I never, just at a level that I hoped for and never achieved, but now it's happening. So I don't know, I'm still definitely a work in progress, and I'm just feeling a lot of encouragement and hope lately that I just need to keep staying on the path, and it's going to be, there's going to be highs and lows, and it's going to be all over the place, and I'm going to get depressed again, and I'm going to have anxiety again, and that's all a part of it. But right now I'm in a good place, so I'm just going to keep riding this wave as long as I can, and whatever comes will come. And yeah, I see other family members in some of these other things, but I won't talk about that. Really good reading. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
Hi. Well, so much from the reading in so many different ways relating to these shares. I think we all have some form of imposter syndrome from being imposters and having to play whatever roles we had to play. And I feel like my imposter syndrome is legitimate because I have no sense of self. So, you know, I feel like a slave to this idea that there's a way to do something that I'm missing and I need to be taught. And I think it's just never having the focus being on, you know, your development or just seeing you as a person and just putting that aside and remembering, you know, even if I feel like the kid in the adult body, that I am the adult, that there are no rules. It's time for me to make them. I have the freedom to do so. And it just keeps, you just keep having to do it because it's definitely an act your way into thinking differently versus a think your way into acting differently, if I said that right, but you all know what I mean. So anyway, that's how I relate to the imposter syndrome, is just kind of on a foundational level. It's everywhere, but just kind of keep throwing yourself out there. So thanks.
Hey, everybody. You know, it's funny. Earlier today, I had like a full-blown emotional flashback, like legitimate, lost myself for a second, like started to catastrophize. And even knowing that, I still sit here and like, is my trauma really as bad as I think it is? And that's kind of been lifelong for me. You know, years ago when I kind of recognized it on the surface as what it was, and tried to, you know, vocalize it, that did not serve me whatsoever. Basically, I don't want to say cause problems, but cause problems at home, cause problems at school, cause problems in about every circle I was part of. And, you know, that became my assigned role. I was the problem. It was just me being me. And because of that, you know, I completely internalized the toxic shame piece. And rather than trying to fix situations or learn or anything, I just, this was me and I was the problem. And unfortunately, I don't really know, you know, that doesn't give you a lot of room for improvement. But even with that, you know, knowing how react nowadays to situation, I try to view things as what it is, fault what it is. You know, at home, that's not always reinforced. My family, that's not always reinforced. Then it's easier just to kind of point the problem back and say it's just me being me. But, you know, even in the healing process, the time here, you know, it's something I always feel guilty for even asking for the time, or it's not prioritized. I hate to say it, even before this meeting, something was kind of weaponized against me, and talk to your group about it. And basically, hopefully, it will give me a different perspective. And it really just kind of, you know, gaslighted my feelings a lot. The toxic shame piece is, you know, my biggest part I want to work on, things I avoided. I want to say pretty much my entire college experience, adolescence, and like basically what I wanted to pursue and be, just completely tabled it and just tried to fix myself in everybody else's eyes and fix everybody else's issues. You know, things that trigger me now, just anything I'm not an expert on. Spent 20 years trying to become perfect and visible and all this, and it doesn't really serve. That's all. I just am here to work, and I really appreciate a lot of people sharing to me. So a lot of good perspectives.
Hey, friends, family, loved ones, my people, the shit shows. Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy week, and I'm really proud of the fact that I've kept my shit mostly together. Car problems just fucking suck, don't they? Just they're never at a good time. It's always the worst. What I thought was going to be a couple $100, $5,000, which is more than the car is worth. And I'm going to keep long and short of it. Basically, my parents were going to go down to one car, and so they sold me on my long-term loan that I have with them, their old 2008 Ford Expedition, which is like a giant Suburban. My dad left as I'm on the phone with him from California to drive 18 hours to Colorado, got here Tuesday night and dropped off the car, went to the hotel, flew back home. And that was like our time together. And I'm so grateful. But the imposter syndrome of like, I don't deserve this help. Like, how many fucking times do I need my parents to bail me out? And the point is, I can sit here and like moan about it or be like really grateful that I've done work to get to a better spot to where I am going to pay for it. I am going to continue the process. I wrote them a thank you card, which is big to like something to show them that I'm appreciative of it. And my dad was such a dad, and it was his love language, like that he wanted to show me he cared. And he's like, "I'm retired. I got nothing but time, and I'll drive on out here. It'll be fun." And he did it, and I just am really grateful for that. And then we talked for a few hours. He talked about the new house that we're buying, and he's big on projects. And like, so, Mike, what do you think the first projects you're gonna? I don't know why I have this accent for my dad. He doesn't have an accent, but he was like, "What kind of projects you got? What do you want to do?" I'm like, "Oh, we're gonna sand the deck." He's like, "No, you gotta pressure wash it. Don't do that, and then you can stain it. That'll be real nice." And I was like, "Great, okay, Dad, thank you." Which I actually am really excited to have him come out in a while when we get settled and stuff to come help with a remodel. 'Cause I've always wanted to remodel a house with my dad in adulthood. I did it as a kid. Every year we remodeled the kitchen over Thanksgiving, and it's a fond memory. And I want to do that, I think, for work now and learn how to do it because I enjoy it. I like it, fixing up old houses, doing maintenance, this kind of shit. And to not be stuck doing maintenance like I am currently, is kind of nice, but also that scary feeling of I can do anything. Like right now, it's small perspective, and to open it to be like you could do whatever the fuck you want to me as an adult child is like, oh my God, what? Don't tell me that. Don't tell me what you want me to do. How about that? How about you tell me what I should do? And the fact that I need to investigate in these coming weeks, what do I want to do? And apply for those jobs and put it out there into the universe and go to job fairs and figure out what I want out of this because life is opening up in a great way. Like I'm excited. Again, selling a house, buying a house. It's for people that have done it, especially with families. Oh, good God, is it a lot? I'm not even involved in all of it, but like, how do you leave the old house if the old one doesn't sell and the new one you bought it and you've got a mortgage there and on that one, but who knows how long it's going to sit on the market? And the market's always weird, whatever place you're in. It's like, oh, well, right now it's kind of a weird time. It's like, it's always a weird time. When is it a good, best time to buy and sell a house? But anyways, yeah, we found a new house. It's super cute. It's this little Craftsman that's like cheapo, but like move-in ready, that isn't like the trap house we looked at once in the initial stages. So it's like we can move in and then kind of make it our own and do that. And I feel like I'm in a partnership with him. I'm not like tagging along with his adventure. It's my adventure too. And I'm excited. All the friends I've talked to, I did finally tell my gay AA group friends that I'm going to be expanding my home and having a new home. And it was very much supportive, sad reactions from friends, which is nice. And I'm like, I do plan to come back and have Denver be my other home, but to make a new home and to make new friends. But it doesn't mean losing the old ones. And I think that's a very adult child, younger me mindset that comes in of like, well, I can't ever call them again. And it's like, no, you can't. These are your friend people that love you, that care about you. Like the reading said, how your perspective is so skewed on ourselves because we're so convinced it's so right that everyone hates us or we're a burden. Like with my car being broken, I needed to ask a friend for a ride home. And I'm like, oh my God, how could I ask him this? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. That'd be great. And I'm like, fuck, is my perspective fucky. So that is a whole lot of shit going on. My aunt is in the hospital on life support, so that's quite sad. So I'm trying to keep my mom okay. She's been dying for a long time though, so it's really hard with people that like hospice, where it's like, oh, it's gonna be any day now, and that was weeks ago and months ago, and it's again, but this time it's for real, which it does feel that way. But trying to not take, try to help my mom, but not like perfectly take care of her. Like it's not my job, but it is easy enough for me to give a 5-minute call and to reach out and help, because you know it happened the day that my dad was driving here that she's alone at home. So I was like, I can help bridge the gap there because this is a special circumstance. But like all that's happening, and it's just kind of a lot. And I did the things where I reached out, I came to meetings, I took two trains and a bus to get to my meeting on Monday night, and I was really proud of it. I was really accomplished, being like, shit, I've never done public transportation. And I got to my fucking meeting because I needed it. I needed to just have that space, just like this room is a space to just get it out from in here, where it's like crushing, it's like compression, and to let it out, let it breathe, bring it into the light. And it's so much easier when we do it together. So like, I'm so grateful for you all. I'm not going anywhere. I hope none of you do. Just stick around because it's a shit show, but it's less of a shit show together. Am I right?
It
I'm
sure is.
right.
Did you say fucky
Yeah, my
earlier?
brain's a little fucky.
Yeah, I've never, I like that. I don't think I've ever heard anyone
A
say
little,
fucky before. And I
I'm just being a
was
little fuck.
like,
You know, my car's being a little fucky.
yeah, I might, yeah,
Not IE.
I think I might
I think
want
it's a
really like
Y.
this. Yeah.
I think it's a Y at the end of it.
Fucky. Oh, he's next.
All right, shit shows. Do you ever have those days where everything takes you three times longer than you thought it would? I'll be honest, I have those days multiple times a week. And so then 6 p.m. rolls around and I've checked off like half my to-do list, and going to the grocery store is one of those things I've yet to do. Now, this is usually the moment that my inner critic loves to come in to start shaming me about how irresponsible I am, how I can't get it together, what the hell's wrong with me. But then I remember I have Omaha steaks in the freezer, and the critic no longer has a dinner crisis to shame me over. Now, having Omaha steaks in the freezer is like having a trusted butcher in a gourmet food shop right in my house. And let's talk about the flavor of these steaks, okay? Because when I buy steak at the grocery store, unless I marinate them ahead of time, it usually comes out kind of flavorless. But with Omaha steaks, I don't have to do a damn thing. No marinating, no planning, no thinking ahead. It is flavorful all on its own. And there's also a nostalgic thing going on for me, because my grandma, my dad's mom, she always gave us Omaha steaks every Christmas. And she was one of the few people that I felt truly unconditionally loved by. So there is a warmth to this that goes beyond just the way that they taste. Omaha Steaks has been around for over 100 years. It is the same damn beef people have trusted in their kitchen for generations, shipped nationwide straight to your damn door, arriving frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal time and effort. I personally like to cook my steaks in the air fryer. So traditionally, I've been a ribeye gal, but let me tell you about what I most recently got. The Burger Perfection Flight. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. So you can try the Burger Perfection Flight at Omaha Steaks today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get 35% off with promo code BEEF. So that's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for 35% off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
I have been out living by the ocean out of my Subaru for 3 days. And just looking for space, like to feel the things, since I've been stepping into the wonderful shit show, the safe within. It has cracked open a bunch of stuff that I'm like, thanks for the word, fucky, in the head. And I've been grieving. I've been making a lot of choices in the last 3 years in learning that I was an adult child. And I've had to make a lot of new healthy choices with the new information and understanding of what the balance of relationships are. And there's been another one, and I think I'm in heavy grief. And the more that I practice, because I've been practicing out here, to listen and get in touch and do the breathing and all that or whatever. It's like getting close to just me is kind of like I'm having a hard time finding the words. Like I was sitting on the beach today and I was reading a book, which I don't do. I'm always information. I've owned businesses. I've got that intellectual or whatever. And it's like, just go off somewhere and read a book. And it's called Half Broken Horses. And I had to force myself to be still and do that. But the mirage of emotions, my sister came out the first day. She's a really good person with music to express herself. And she doesn't express her feelings. And she thinks, you know, these groups I get into and stuff, she doesn't like talk about feelings. She just deals with them herself. Anyway, she played a song for me. And it was to let me know that it's okay to cry and it's okay to express and that she'll be there. And we've had 9 losses in our family that have been a variety of tragedies. And I think I'm just in an in-between place where it's like, I know I'm going to get to know myself even more than I ever have. And I'm a little nervous about it. And I have a hard time thinking about the imposter syndrome, but with that word, it just makes me cringe. But when I think about being what I need to be for other people to show that I'm worthy of what I do, say, or whatever. And I just finished talking to an attorney next door here. She's from the US and she was asking about a spot here on the ocean, all this stuff or whatever. And we had an interesting conversation. And she asked me a few questions. And it's like, I've done 7 startup businesses on my own. I've created this, I've done that, I've been present, all that stuff. And now I've given myself time in my life to, I'm not obligated to anything but me, like just me. What do I want to do in my life? What do I want to create? And I've been doing that for 3 years. And it's really, I found it challenging to go, do I like that or do I not like that? Is that okay with me or not okay with me? And I get the intellectual coming in there. So that's why I brought myself here. I'm on the coast and I watch the moon at midnight. I walk the beach. I'm living in my Subaru and made it into a home and all that stuff. And it's like, I got to learn to do this. I want to learn to do this because I have so many opportunities in front of me, but making the choice just for me and not because I'm running the bit, you know, knowing all the things that I got to do, it's a different story. And I'm like a little girl going, am I allowed? Am I allowed? That, like, I'm laying on the beach going like, I chose to do this. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. So, yeah, I'm just, well, as you all know, there's all kinds of transitions, but I've worked myself from crawling and crying on the floor, learning I was an adult child and stepping out of shit and having everything come up to I'm in a position and I do have wisdom. I do have strength. I do have courage. I've been going off all over doing things with myself. And I'm just trying to embrace the transition to myself. And I like the way you posted there, Andrea. It's just wonderful what you picked to choose for inquiring questions to direct myself to myself. You know, it's just, it's amazing. So the questions I just did today, I did them all out on the beach and some I could answer and some I couldn't. So I just offer myself patience, truly patience. You have come through so much stuff and made it on the other side, girl. This is just a new territory for you. And thank you for the space and time to do this. And I really am privileged to be able to hear all of your heart sharing in this sacred place. So thank you.
I really loved how this reading talked about the golden child as a family stabilizer. As technically an only child, but also growing up with my slightly younger cousin, I feel like I've kind of been in a lot of the different roles, but golden child as a family stabilizer makes the most sense for me. I think I realized, like, at a really young age that there was like a role to be played, and that was how you survived. And I did always like sit with the worry of like, they're gonna figure it out. They're gonna figure out that I don't know what I'm doing. But I think that memory dates back to like being 4 or 5 years old. And it's terrifying. It's really terrifying. I just always felt like I wasn't actually that smart or capable. I was just quick enough to figure out the role that someone else wanted me to fill before others could figure it out. I mean, the toxic shame of it all, I've let that hold me back, and I've let that like keep me playing small for a very long time. And I mean, it wasn't until everything kind of came crashing down until I was like able to face it. So it's been a really rocky 7 years, maybe especially the last 2 to 3 years, kind of like really facing these things out loud in a big way and like going against the grain way. Yeah, I've avoided going after jobs that I thought were interesting, because what if I failed? I avoided starting the business that I've always wanted to start. I avoided ending my marriage for several years. And yeah, there's a lot of things here that I'm not avoiding anymore, and I think I'm still quietly avoiding some of them, but I also don't really have the option to avoid them very much anymore. So it's also like really nerve-wracking knowing that like my days are numbered and I have to like, I don't know, I was just thinking of myself as like a little like hesitating to try to fly out of the nest, but like yeah, it feels like the days are numbered and I'm gonna have to jump really soon. That's really scary. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, this one is obviously very relatable. I'd say that. So I did listen to it the episode yesterday, and then later on that night, I don't know, I guess I was just sort of thinking, and I've always understood what imposter syndrome was, and like I'm aware that I feel some level of it, but I didn't realize like how much it affected me, I guess. There was okay, so my husband, he's gonna have like this work event coming up soon, and we all have to like dress nice and go there and whatever, and I'm already freaking out over it. I don't even know what the date is because yeah, it's just like the thing I've always struggled with in the past of I don't like being around a bunch of people because I feel like they'll all see like that how pathetic I am, like how pathetic I know I am, and they'll just like, you know, they'll see all of it and I won't be able to hide it, and then I'm going to be there with my husband and these are people he works with and I'm going to make my husband look bad, and then my husband's going to be so like disappointed in me or something, and then he'll realize like, wow, I chose the wrong person to be with. Like, you know, I put up with all these things, but now suddenly it's all clear that I made a mistake. And I know that's not factual. I know it's just me like freaking out, really. But it sucks because as much as I would like to connect with people, I have such a hard time doing it because I'm so sure that like they know that I'm bad. They know that there's something wrong with me, and that's why people like don't stick around and whatever. But I mean, I understand that it's just me feeling that way about myself and then just deciding everyone else must feel that way too, but it just still is really bad, especially because like with my husband, he did tell a couple of his previous coworkers who I think will also be there about my infidelity, just sort of to like vent, and he trusts them and everything. And I don't have an issue with that. That's perfectly fine. But it's not exactly something that
I want people to think of when they see me, even though it's perfectly understandable that they would. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm really hoping I get sick before I have to go. Thank you.
Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Let it all go.